And unfortunately, Daryl died this year in February. And I was up in Denmark, in northern Denmark, and I couldn't get down for the funeral because I was suffering from food poisoning and I was so ill. There was no way I was going to make it. But in a way, I didn't feel so bad because I'd said goodbye to Daryl a few months before. I went to see him in hospital in November of 99, and I knew that he was in a bad way. So before a long German tour, I took an extra day out and went down to see him, and his wife, lovely wife Danny, said, "They most probably will only allow you in there for about 10 minutes because he's so weak, but I know he wants to see you." So I got to the hospital and went in, and they said, "Yeah, he's okay, you can go in." And I went into his room, and there he was lying in bed and with his eyes closed. And I sat next to him and held his hand, and he just opened one eye and looked at me and said, "Oh, hi, Hallie, how you doing?" I said, well, I'm fine, you know, but how are you?" He said, "Well, not too good in a way. I've only got about a quarter of my lung that's working, and this damn machine has to keep pumping to help me breathe. I've got sugar diabetes, and that's a real problem. I've got this metal contraption on my leg because the leg's gone dead and I need it just to move." But then he smiled and he looked up at me and said, "But apart from that, I'm doing fine." which is just the way Daryl was. And we sat and talked for a little bit, and I told him I was off on a tour of Germany and so on. But then I could see that he was getting tired and I would have to leave. So I put my arms around him and I kissed him, and on his gnarled old unshaven cheek, which was really rough, and I said, "Well, goodbye, Daryl. I got to go now." And he said, "Well, you take care, Ali. You'll be okay." And I knew then that was the last time I would see him, and I'm sure he knew the same. Just as I got to the door, I heard him say, "Hey, Ali." And I turned around and he said, "Where are you going again?" I said, "I'm going to Germany for the tour." "Oh, yeah," he said. And with all the strength that he could raise, he just lifted up his right hand in a fist and punched the sky and said, "Give 'em hell, Ali, give 'em hell." And that was my last memory of Daryl, and it's the best memory I have because when I was there in Denmark, those 2 or 3 months later, when I heard that he died, I thought, well, I said my goodbye to him. But in a way, I wish I'd made it to the funeral, because it was not without its humor, of course, and because Daryl died in hospital, and his wife, Danny, insisted on taking his body home, and the people at the hospital, they just didn't like that idea at all, but they couldn't really stop her. So she took Daryl home and she sat him in his chair, gave him his banjo, opened all the windows and just told a few people, and people would come round and sit next to him, smoke a joint or whatever and just say goodbye to him. But after a day, Danny realized that it was so cold that she would have to do something because, you know, a dead body is not supposed to be in a warm climate. So she moved him to the top of the house in one of the bedrooms and opened all the windows there so it was cold, and lay him there. And still his friends would come by and go up to the top of the apartment and say goodbye to Daryl, who's dead, lying on the bed. And then it came time for Daryl to be put in the coffin and taken to the crematorium. So they got him in the coffin and just before they closed the lid, Rebecca, who's Daryl's daughter, wonderful young woman, came in with a kilo of marijuana and sprinkled it all around his body before they closed the lid. And story is that they got him to the crematorium and they put him into where the body is burned, and everyone there got stoned for a week, which is what Daryl would have loved, of course. Danny, Daryl's wife, was telling me that one of the most special moments at the funeral was some people would get up and tell a story or sing a few songs, but there was one guy called Patrick Ferrin, who is a Belgian guy making a documentary, a film documentary of Daryl, which should be out sometime this year, 2000, on which I'm playing Daryl's song Banjo Man and a little interview. And he stood in front of the people there and he said, "Well, I can't sing and I can't play, but this is for Daryl." And he lifted up a little Walkman and he pressed the play. And it was the sound of a freight train in the night. And that was all. And somehow that was the most special thing that you could have done for Daryl, because the freight train, the sound of that freight train going through the night is... that's the image. That's the image of the traveling man, the wandering singer with his guitar or with his banjo sitting on the freight train. It's the kind of image that inspired young lads like me 30, 40 years ago. So in a way, that was special. So to bring the story round, full circle if you like, I remember talking to Danny recently and I said, "You know, really, Daryl's not left me. Daryl's with me all the time, because somehow I've got his banjo style now in my guitar playing. And there's a couple of songs I'm doing, a song called Back Again and Kerouac's Dream. And when I play them now with that kind of banjo lick, I think of Daryl. So I'm never going to lose him now. He's with me forever. And in a way, that's wonderful, because I loved the old man and we had some good times together."